Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 9, The Appearance of the Demon Ritrasura, Text 36. It is in prose, so we will not recite the verse responsively, but we will repeat each word. Please repeat. Na.
Na.
Not.
Na.
He.
He.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Virodha.
Virodha.
Contradiction.
Ubayam,
both.
Bhagavati,
in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Aparimita, unlimited. Gunagane, whose transcendental attributes. Ishware, in the Supreme Controller. Anavagaya, possessing. Mahatmye, unfathomable ability and glories. Arvachina, recent. Vikalpa, full of equivocal calculations. Vitarka, opposing arguments. Vichara, judgments. Pramana Abhasa, imperfect evidence. Kutarka, useless arguments. Shastra, by unauthorized scriptures. Kalila, agitated. Antakarana, minds. Ashraya, whose shelter. Duravagraha, with wicked obstinacies. Vadinam, of theorists. Vivada, of the controversies. Anavasare, not within the range. Uparata, withdrawn. Samasta, from whom all maya maye illusory energy kevale without a second eva indeed atmamayam the illusory energy which can do and undo the inconceivable antardaya placing between ka what nu indeed artha meaning durgata impossible eva as it were bhavati is swarupa natures divaya of two abhavat due to the absence. Translation: O Supreme Personality of Godhead, all contradictions can be reconciled in you. O Lord, since you are the Supreme Person, the reservoir of unlimited spiritual qualities, the Supreme Controller, your unlimited glories are inconceivable to the conditioned souls. Many modern theologians argue about right and wrong without knowing what is actually right. Their arguments are always false, and their judgments inconclusive, because they have no authorized evidence with which to gain knowledge of you. Because their minds are agitated by scriptures containing false conclusions, they are unable to understand the truth concerning you. Furthermore, because of polluted eagerness to arrive at the right conclusion, their theories are incapable of revealing you, who are transcendental to their material conceptions. You are one without a second, and therefore in you, contradictions like doing and not doing, happiness and distress, are not contradictory. Your potency is so great that it can do and undo anything as you like. With the help of that potency, what is impossible for you? Since there is no duality in your constitutional position, you can do everything by the influence of your energy. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, being self-sufficient, is full of transcendental bliss, Atmarama. He enjoys bliss in two ways: when he appears happy, and when he appears distressed. Distinctions and contradictions are impossible in him, because only from him have they emanated. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the reservoir of all knowledge, all potency, all strength, opulence, and influence. There is no limit to his powers. Since he is full in all transcendental attributes, nothing abominable from the material world can exist in him. He is transcendental and spiritual, and therefore conceptions of material happiness and distress do not apply to him. We should not be astonished to find contradictions in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, there are no contradictions. That is the meaning of his being supreme. Because he is all-powerful, he is not subject to the conditioned soul's arguments regarding his existence or non-existence. He is pleased to protect his devotees by killing their enemies. He enjoys both the killing and the protecting. Such freedom from duality applies not only to the Lord, but also to his devotees. In Vrindavan, the damsels of Vrajabhumi enjoy transcendental bliss in the company of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And they feel the same transcendental bliss in separation when Krishna and Balaram leave Vrindavan for Mathura. There is no question of material pains or pleasures for either the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his pure devotees, although they are sometimes superficially said to be distressed or happy. One who is Atmarama is blissful in both ways. Non-devotees cannot understand the contradictions present in the Supreme Lord or his devotees. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Bhaktyamam abhijanati. The transcendental pastimes can be understood through devotional service. To non-devotees, they are inconceivable. Achintya kalo ye bhava natams tarkena yojayat. The Supreme Lord and his form, name, pastimes, and paraphernalia are inconceivable to non-devotees. And one should not try to understand such realities simply by logical arguments. They will not bring one to the right conclusion about the absolute truth. Translation again. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, all contradictions can be reconciled in you. O Lord, since you are the Supreme Person, the reservoir of unlimited spiritual qualities, the Supreme Controller, Your unlimited glories are inconceivable to the conditioned souls. Many modern theologians argue about right and wrong without knowing what is actually right. Their arguments are always false, and their judgments inconclusive, because they have no authorized evidence with which to gain knowledge of you. Because their minds are agitated by scriptures containing false conclusions, they are unable to understand the truth concerning you. Furthermore, because of polluted eagerness to arrive at the right conclusion, their theories are incapable of revealing you, who are transcendental to their material conceptions. You are one without a second, and therefore in you contradictions like doing and not doing, happiness and distress, are not contradictory. Your potency is so great that it can do and undo anything as you like. With the help of that potency, what is impossible for you? Since there is no duality in your constitutional position, you can do everything by the influence of your energy. Hare Krishna. So this verse, while glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is very humbling for us insignificant living entities, because the Lord is so great, inconceivably great, with so many apparent contradictions that we cannot begin to understand him with our limited and imperfect senses and mind and intelligence. We can only surrender and pray for his mercy. Otherwise, we have no access to the transcendental realm. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami quotes a verse about the transcendental nature of the holy name, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. And he concludes Abhinat Panama Namina, that the name and the possessor of the name are the same. There is no difference between them. And in the next verse, he says, Ata Sri Krishna Namadi. Ata means therefore. Ata Sri Krishna Namadi, therefore the holy name and forms, qualities, pastimes. Na Bhavet Grayam Indraye. They cannot be approached through our material senses. But Sevan Mukihi Jivado, by serving the Lord, beginning with the tongue, Swayam Eva Spuratyada, he reveals himself. So we can approach the Lord or understand the Lord only through devotional service. Sevan Mukhi. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur remarks that if one chants but does not have the mood of service, one will not get the result of the chanting. That chanting should be done in the mood of humble service. There was one incident in the life of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He went to spend the night in a particular place, in a temple. He arrived very late at night, and he just spent the night in the temple. And in the morning, all the townspeople were astonished. How could you have spent the night there? Because there was a Brahma Rakshasa who lived there, and he would disturb anyone who came there to the point of throwing stones and objects at them. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, well, I just chanted the holy name. Of course, he chanted completely purely, Shuddhanam. And the ghost went away. So the townspeople were further astonished because that Brahma Rakshasa, it turns out he had been the pujari at that temple in his previous life. And he was always chanting the holy name. So they were astonished, how is it that chanting the holy name could have dispatched him when he himself was always chanting the holy name? And Bhaktivinoda Thakur asked the people what was his character. And they said, well, actually, although he was always chanting, he had a very bad character. He did many bad things. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur replied, he never chanted the holy name. And when the pure holy name came, he had to leave the place. So chanting should be done, sevanmukhi, in the mood of humble service. And then in that humble mood we can begin to beg for the mercy of the holy name of the Lord, and he will begin to reveal himself to us. Now, every conditioned soul is conditioned to trying to understand reality through the senses and through the mind. And therefore, when they come to the Supreme, who's beyond the mind and senses, they become bewildered and disturbed. And they ask questions. Even before I came to Krishna consciousness, people would ask questions like, you know, if God is all powerful, if he can do anything, can he create an object that is so heavy that he cannot lift it? And the answer is yes, he can. But then he can lift it. He can also lift it. Because He can do things and undo things at will. He can make the object so heavy that he can't lift it, and then he can increase his own strength or decrease the weight of the object so that he can lift it. But ordinary people, their minds are conditioned and they think in terms of these contradictions. And it's sort of an excuse to reject the Lord and reject surrender to the Lord. Oh, there's so many contradictions. Who knows what the truth is? Might as well just enjoy the illusion. Now, another very interesting point here is that the pure devotees have the same attribute. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote an essay about how apparent contradictions are reconciled in the absolute. And he lists 108 or some number of contradictions that are reconciled in the absolute. And the Lord manifests himself to us. He is far, in a way. Well, he's very far, but at the same time he's very near. But he manifests himself to us through his pure devotee. And so we can get a sense of what the Lord is like through the pure devotees. And also by reading about the Lord's pastimes and loving reciprocation with his pure devotees. And these questions, especially about meeting and separation and happiness and distress, immediately arise as soon as you become aware of the pastimes of the Lord and the devotees. In India, Revatinandan Swami asked Srila Prabhupada that if a pure devotee is always with Krishna, if a pure devotee is always seeing Krishna, why does he appear to suffer in separation? And Srila Prabhupada replied that actually there is no separation, but externally it manifests itself as separation. And here Srila Prabhupada cites the example of Krishna and the gopis. Actually, today is Rath Yatra, according to the Vaishnav calendar. In fact, it's about 10 to 9 in the evening in Jagannath Puri on Rath Yatra day. And the whole pastime of the Rath Yatra is filled with meeting and separation. Fifteen days prior to the Rath Yatra is Snan Yatra, and which is actually the appearance day of Lord Jagannath, and the Lord is bathed publicly, and then he is taken into his private quarters, or Lakshmi Devi's private quarters in the temple, to some people say recover from the cold he caught during the bathing ceremony. And during that time, Lakshmi Devi serves him different medicinal potions in the form of fruit juices. And at that time, repairs are made on the body of the Lord. So that is a time of great separation for the devotees. They cannot have darshan of the Lord. And no one felt the separation more acutely than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, he was so upset that he couldn't remain in Jagannath Puri, but he would go to Alanath for those 14 days. But then when the Lord would emerge again for Rath Yatra, it was a great occasion of jubilation. The Lord was reunited with his devotees, and they were reunited with him. Now this pulling of the Lord from the Jagannath temple to the Gundicha temple was experienced by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the mood of the gopis when they met Krishna at Kurukshetra after a long separation and wanted to bring him back to Vrindavan. And this is quite an elaborate and esoteric subject. But coming back a little earlier in the story, why did Krishna leave Vrindavan? It is the nature of everyone, including Krishna, to be in the place or with the people where he is most loved. It's just natural. And everyone knows, the scriptures tell us, that the love of the residents for Krishna is the greatest of any devotee's love. So it is contrary to the basic rule of love for someone to leave the people who love him the most to be somewhere else. Now, everything that Krishna did, he did out of love for his devotees. And even when he left Vrindavan, he did it for the sake of his devotees. Of course, there were many demons to be killed. But there are other reasons, more, say, confidential reasons, which devotee scholars have traced back or related to a pastime of Radha and Krishna, their devotees at Prem Sarovara. Radharani and Krishna were together there, and a bee, mistaking Srimati Radharani's lotus feet for lotus flowers, was hovering around her lotus feet, hoping to get some nectar. And anyway, this bee was like disturbing her, and she just wanted that bee to go away. And Madhu Mangal, Krishna's Brahmin friend, he saw that Srimati Radharani was being disturbed by the bee, so he shooed the bee away and came back and proclaimed that the Madhu, which is a name for bee and also a name for Krishna, that Madhu is gone and will not return. And Radha and Krishna were sitting right next to each other. But when Radharani heard that statement that the Madhu is gone and will not return, in her mind she took it to be Krishna. And she was plunged into a state of extreme grief and separation. And Krishna, seeing Radharani's grief and separation, he was also plunged into grief, and their associates similarly, and their tears combined to form Prem Sarovar. Now this is very mysterious. Talk about contradictions. They were right next to each other, but they were feeling separation from each other. And Krishna thought that as long as I'm in Vrindavan, my devotees will be so concerned about meeting me and being separated from me that even in my presence, they're fearing my separation. Whereas if I leave Vrindavan, they will feel separation. But they in that separation, they will feel my presence more. And actually, it is the case. Of course, when it was a very pitiful scene when Krishna was leaving Vrindavan for Mathura, Krishna and Balaram, when Akrura came to get them. And Krishna said, you know, do not fear. I will return soon. But Krishna did not return soon. And as Srila Prabhupada explains in the Krishna book, that many learned scholars have discussed this point, that Krishna said, I will return, but it appears that he did not return. So does it mean that Krishna is a liar or a cheater, that he told them he would return but he didn't? Or does it mean that he was sincere in making his promise but he was incapable of keeping his word? And Srila Prabhupada explains that although Krishna apparently left Vrindavan, he was present in his bhava expansion. And so there are these contradictory descriptions. When Krishna sent Uddhava to Vrindavan, and there are descriptions of what Uddhava encountered when he first arrived in Vrindavan, there are contradictions. There's descriptions of the ladies churning the butter and singing songs and praise of Krishna, and the cows and the calves running through the pastures and frolicking and enjoying. There are verses that give that very joyful picture of Vrindavan. And there are also verses that give a completely different picture, that Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Ma, the cowherd men, the cowherd boys, the younger gopis, they're in such agony of separation that they're not eating, they're not sleeping, they can hardly breathe, they're burning in the fire of separation. And just a most piteous condition. So what are these two contradictory types of verses? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and others explain that the one set of verses refers to the external situation, that Krishna had left Vrindavan and the devotees are dying in separation. And the other describe another dimension of Vrindavan, where Krishna is present through his bhava expansion. Now this mysterious and confidential topic of meeting and separation has also been discussed in Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita, in which Srila Sanatana Goswami says that the ecstasy of union and separation is even greater than the ecstasy of meeting in the external sense. And even though Krishna wasn't that far from Vrindavan in Mathura, and even Dwarka, but because the devotees were relishing that ecstasy internally, they didn't want to give it up. And the Brihad Bhagavatamrita gives the example of fire and ice, that when something is very cold, it burns. Like there's dry ice. It's like it's so cold that it burns. It burns. So Sanatana Goswami explains that when the feelings of separation become so intense, it becomes meeting. It's like when something becomes so cold, it becomes hot, it burns. And this is something that we can experience. It's not on the level or to the degree of the residents of Vrindavan, but it's something that we experience. That when we are feeling so much separation or so much anguish, and we so much want either the association or the answer, it may be that we're perturbed by some question, and we need the answer, and we're desperate. Where will I get that answer? And when we become completely desperate and give up all of our pretensions and false ego and false ideas of our own strength and intelligence, then Krishna reveals himself. Our acharyas reveal themselves. The answers to our questions are revealed. But then, you know, the human nature, then we think, okay, I'm okay, I'm fine now, now everything's all right. And then we get puffed up again. But if we always remain in that mood of abject humility and helplessness, then the Lord will always be extending his help to us, his devotees. We have to try hard. You know, we have to, if we take it lightly, well then of course, you know, we won't experience these things. But if we take it seriously, then we will. But that mood of taking things seriously, that also depends on association. That mood of sincerity, that mood of humility, we get that by association. After many, many years, decades, I visited the Jewish temple in my home, well, sort of hometown, in the northern suburbs, the North Shore of Chicago. And I met the rabbi who I hadn't seen for 30 years. And somehow he recognized me. So we had a talk, and I was explaining my path and guru and, you know, the importance of serving the guru and so on. And he told a little Jewish story about a student of the rabbi who was very eager to serve the rabbi, to be with the rabbi and serve the rabbi. And someone asked him, why are you so eager to be with the rabbi and serve the rabbi? What's the big thing, you know, doing all these menial chores? And he replied, I want to see how the rabbi ties his boots. And basically the purport is that you can learn from anything and everything that a great soul does, because whatever they do is permeated by their devotion, by their love, by their bhakti. I am in that fortunate position now, sharing quarters with His Holiness Radhanath Swami. And if he comes out of his room and wants to chew on an apple, I want to be there. I want to see how someone with real love and devotion eats an apple, because whatever he does is filled with love and devotion. And it's like a disease. You can be infected. Like if someone has a disease, so, you know, if they sneeze, you can get it. If you eat some food that they've eaten, you can get it. Or if they breathe on, you know, depending on what the disease is, you can catch it. So we want to associate with some devotee who has that a condition of love for Krishna, and we want to like expose ourselves to that infection and hope that some of those germs will somehow enter us and give us that same condition. So that association is so precious, so valuable, so important. We want to avail of every opportunity we have to get that association. But then sometimes it happens that due to circumstances beyond our control, we're separated from that association. And then things are very difficult. And then what do we do? Well, we are told, and we also can experience, that by hearing the person's instructions and remembering the instructions and trying to follow the instructions, we can feel the person's presence. Yesterday I met a man. He has a hair salon outside of Philadelphia. And he seemed like a spiritual person, a sort of spiritual person. And I know two devotees in Texas who work in a hair salon. And they're very distressed because, first of all, they feel, you know, now they've learned they're not the body and all they do is deal with people's bodies. And then the other thing is, you know, especially in the economic climate, you have to go out to get business. It's not so easy. You sort of have to promote yourself and they don't feel comfortable. So I thought, let me speak with him. It turns out that he's a sort of devotee. That when he was a young man, he met Srila Prabhupada. And, you know, circumstantially he didn't really... I'm not sure. It seems he would frequently go to the temple. And more than that, when the devotees would go on Sankirtan, they would stay with him. He had, I think this was a very small one-bedroom apartment, and he'd have like 10 brahmacharis, you know, staying in his apartment with him. But once he had an encounter with Srila Prabhupada, and he was thinking, you know, he was perturbed. He was discussing with the devotees in the temple. He was thinking maybe he should just renounce everything and join the temple. Even though, you know, the hair salon was a family business. He was expected to take it over and, you know, how those expectations are there. And he just didn't know what to do. And he spoke to the devotees. They, you know, he still wasn't sure. So He met Srila Prabhupada. He didn't really have a relationship in the normal sense. And Prabhupada just looked at him. He didn't ask anything. Prabhupada just looked at him and said, you don't have to change anything. Just keep chanting Hare Krishna. And Krishna will make all arrangements. Just like that, like he read his mind. And this person has kept those words from Srila Prabhupada in his heart for all these years. Probably 45 years. And they've been his guidance in his life. So in the absence of the physical association of Krishna or the spiritual master, one can take guidance in their instructions and feel their presence by following their instructions. But of course, when we get their instructions plus them in person, that's the best. I mean, and just conclude, because there's a verse, Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. By serving the person Bhagavat or reading the book Bhagavat, one gets the same result. So one disciple asked Srila Prabhupada, well, on the absolute platform, both are the same. But could we say that one is better than the other? And Srila Prabhupada said, yes. Serving the person Bhagavat is better, because the person Bhagavat can catch you by the ear, which the book Bhagavat won't. So we do need that type of association, love, guidance, and correction. And so His Holiness Radhanath Swami and others, so many great souls, His Holiness Bhakti Tru Swami is in the area. We should take full advantage. Hare Krishna. And not to minimize our resident sadhus, Svavas Prabhu and others, they are also very great souls worth emulating. Hare Krishna. So I think maybe we'll end here. We will continue. There will be more association in the days to come. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.